Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. Been a long time coming. Took a week off because we had some live basketball action last Monday as William Carey took on Southeastern Baptist College. Josh, you and I have been on mics for a long time between our last show and today, but it just hasn't been for this podcast.
Yeah, a lot of football, a lot of basketball. A busy week of basketball this week. We're going to head into the Christmas break, if you will, with a flurry of games this week.
Yeah, we'll do. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford with you. We'll have Clayton Rush join us for our middle two segments, and then Coach Bobby Halford from William Carey Baseball will join us in the final segment of the show today. Talk about his assistant coach hire, replacing Ben Smith on the staff. Coach Eber's still around, but a new staff member to talk about and walk us through what that process was like and a whole lot more. It is Crusader Talk. We're talking everything William Carey Athletics. We've got a lot to catch up on as it relates to the results of seasons for both volleyball and soccer. Also get caught up to speed on basketball. Just to go ahead and talk about one of those seasons that comes to a close, since we'll be talking soccer with Clayton later. Volleyball season, last time we were with you, we mentioned that they would be in the national tournament finals site. They had pool play against Northeastern, or no, what university was it? It's not Northeastern. It was
Northwestern.
Northwestern, the other direction. But and had a really tough draw for one. They come in as the 24th seed playing the number one and number 16 in their three-team pool. And as you take on Northwestern and you fall in that match 3-1, it was impressive to get that one match, or one set, I should say. But on top of that, they played pretty close for most of the others. And just when you boil it down, Josh, that Northwestern team was 32-0 or 31-0 coming into that match. That team was a team of destiny.
Well, they were, but they didn't make it out of pool play. Northwestern did not make it out of pool play.
Oh, really?
Right. So they were a team of destiny until they ran into that pool play. So, the score the next day, where we thought, oh, well, Carey was, they were worn down, they were tired, they were, out of gas and just kind of didn't have the same, level of energy. Well, no, actually, Northwestern gets bounced in the very next game. So they finish their year 32-1. They get bounced. And I've got some great – so Carol Legato, I caught up with her in the cafeteria last week. Went out to have lunch in the CAF. Carol was there, and I said, Carol, I said, something along the lines of, wow, what a great run. How much fun was it out there? She said, Josh was amazing. She said that opening game, all the teams essentially that were in the building were watching William Carey and Northwestern. Who is this team? Who are these girls? Where did they come from? Why haven't we heard of them? They take the opening set, and I can only imagine that place was a buzz with the possibility, because certainly you and I and Clayton and all of Carey fan base and administration and faculty, and we're all just like glued to this match and really felt like we had a chance at times in that fourth set to take that fourth set and force a winner-take-all fifth set. But after that match, after the loss, Coach Shirley and Northwestern's coach spent a lot of time talking together. She said, Coach, he said, Coach, you've got to get into some of these tournaments, and invited Carey to their tournament next year.
Wow.
So they've already gotten an invite to Northwestern next year. They know Carol said they've absolutely got to do that. They've got basically essentially the Loyola route, in the sense of maybe not to that extreme, to take just a chunk of losses early on. You are going to be replacing Barbie. You are going to be replacing Biggie Elena Anderson. However, Swellen Lima garners all tournament team honors national tournament team honors because of her performance in pool play. So people...
Just think about that. 24 teams, and you do not come away except for one game win, and... You
make all tournament team. Yeah, swelling her hitting percentage. She was just that good. People can see her athleticism. They can see her potential. She's got to get a little more violent in her swing. She's got to get a little more tight with her release, if you will. She's got a long windup that allows teams to be able to recover and kind of set their blocks and at times can get there. But when you have a player like a Sofia Bettini who is so violent, is undersized at 5'9", but it was so good in that tournament, especially against Northwestern in that match. As Lima continues to develop, look out. But long story short, this was a coming out party. Depending on who in the country has what players back next year, and with all that Kerry has returning, I think this is a team that potentially could be a top 20, top 25 team to open the season next year.
Yeah, the door is open. People see now, though, Kerry's not as much of a sleeper as they were
this year.
People know the name now. They recognize that Kerry is on the rise. And it's comparable, at least in my college tenure at Mississippi State, to when women's basketball took off. All of a sudden, Mississippi State makes that bounce from getting ousted by UConn the year before in the Sweet 16 to all of a sudden in the Final Four, defeat UConn and make it to the final game. Then they're back in the finals the next year. Then obviously coaching change and other things fall off after that. But still, all of a sudden they enter that picture and they vault themselves up to the finals for two consecutive years. And I truly think that William Kerry, with the trajectory they're on, with the people they have coming back, as you pointed out, certainly are not finished, especially under Coach Rhonda Shirley.
No, I can't believe that kid from Notre Dame made that shot from the baseline on the fadeaway.
Arike Ogubowale. Mm. Hey, fun story, though.
She's still in the league.
I think so.
Yeah.
But fun story. This is a complete side story from us talking about William Kerry, but that shot led me to ask my wife out for the first time, who eventually became my wife, and then we got married later.
In a stunning turn of events.
I mean, this is the humble heart of Caleb Hamill coming through here.
I had no idea where that story was going.
I said to myself, ouch. I was so depressed that State had lost a national championship game on a buzzer beater. Like I had never seen sporting depression like that in my life.
Got to shoot your shot right now. So, you can't go any lower.
That was honestly part of it.
We're going for it.
But I literally, on the ride home from Columbus, Ohio, I took a nap. My dad was driving. And I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm okay. All it took was one sleep and poof, better. I said, so if the rejection of not winning a national championship could be, phased away just that quickly, why should I fear asking this lady out on a date? And the rest is history.
Hold on. I have to ask. Does she know this? Or is she going to be listening to this and go, oh, so that's why he did it?
This is very public knowledge.
This is one of the best stories, though, that's ever been on this program. I just want to add
definitely,
that.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to tie in
now, Coach
your entire
his
family
wife,
life
Miss
story.
Regina was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Somebody call Hallmark. You've got a good movie plot there,
Yeah.
I know.
This just brings up the point again that we need to bring our spouses on. To talk about sports and what it's like being a broadcaster's wife compared to a coach's wife.
And how many years do you have under your belt now?
Oh, goodness. As far as marriage, it'll be 5 years this January.
Okay. And so I'm going on 20 and over 20 years of broadcasting. So my wife would be a little harder on probably my travails than you.
Well, our first anniversary was spent on the road with William Kerry basketball. If that tells you anything about how we started off.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Got done with a tournament, I think, in Montgomery, and then drove over to Birmingham to stay at a resort for a couple days.
Oh, there you go.
And then came back home. But
okay.
It could have been worse. Made some good food. Had some massages at the resort. That was good. I didn't go golfing. That's not my forte. But
I would have gone
golfing.
I see. Yeah, I would have gone golfing.
Wife's not a golfer either. So
what I want to know is, though, if you're on a trip and you're doing basketball and then you go on your honeymoon, how many of those are business expenses?
Only the IRS knows, and they won't tell you either. All right. That's a good segue, basketball, to bring in this season that we've got, since we have just about a minute left. We'll tease it a little bit before we bring Clayton in for the second segment. But, Josh, good turnaround for the men's program since we last spoke.
Yeah. So, you know, when we last were talking, Kerry had gotten the injury bug. You had lost to what turned out to be a mild dislocated shoulder, Zandon Harrelson. Chad Jones was down on his back a little bit. Chad no longer with the team, unfortunately. Personal reasons there, but Zandon Harrelson is back, and it needed some rest. The inflammation is gone. He is as close to 100% as you could get, having gone through that. And so it's a 9-player rotation. There could be a JV player or two move up, but you've got a William Carey team now that's won 3 in a row, and they have had 100 or more points in the last 2 games. So shooting it well.
It is the recurring joke between Coach Knight and I of when is going to be the next season that William Carey finishes still able to practice 5-on-5. May look to be another year before we can get to that point
again. Yeah. JV players, I can confirm, are being used in practice at least. Usually they bring in 3, so they've got 12.
Yeah. But for now, what they have is working.
Oh, it's working.
And we'll see how it progresses on as the season continues. Got a couple of games coming up this week for basketball. We'll talk about those later on in the program as we throw our schedule out there. As we continue next, Clayton Rush joins us in studio to recap men's and women's soccer in the national tournament. Stay with us as more Crusader Talk comes your way next.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here on Crusader Talk, glad you're with us. Hey, if you're out there traveling about, obviously it's the Christmas holiday season, and you know, we're going to take next week off. If you're listening right now and it's the 23rd, then yeah, Merry Christmas to you. We are happy and alive at home, as far as we're aware. But enjoy, if you're listening live right now, enjoy your shopping or enjoy wrapping up that shopping because your days are numbered. And if you are, you're in the same boat that I am right now. But anyway, all that is not really relevant to Crusader Athletics, but we have somebody that is relevant to Crusader Athletics and is going to keep us right back on track. That's Clayton Rush here to talk us through a little bit about William Carey's national tournament runs on the pitch, as William Carey didn't have quite the results that we expected or wanted. You know, I think in some ways the men met expectations or overachieved a bit. Women, obviously the bar was super high. The bar was national championship or bust pretty much after what we've seen the last few years. And unfortunately for Carey, it was just kind of the year of the upset when it came to the national tournament side. A SCAD out of Georgia is able to come away as the 9 seed, victorious in the national championship game, winning over Kaiser, a team that beat Carey earlier in the year. It was the only regular season loss the Crusaders had. William Carey fell before they had to meet Kaiser, losing to Columbia. But, Clayton, this was a very interesting tournament.
Yeah, there was upsets all over the place. You saw, I think if I remember right, looking back at the results, there was only like one seeded team that came out of that first day of the tournament. You had number 1 Cumberland's lose right off the bat, very first game. Then you had a couple other teams that were in there that were, you know, heavily favorited that lost. So yeah, it was a tournament of upsets. Fair enough to SCAD Savannah to get it done and get the national championship game won, because Kaiser beat them twice during the year too. So
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, they're in the Sun Conference with Kaiser, so you know, they played Kaiser twice this year and lost to them. But yeah, it was a crazy tournament for sure.
Well, there are a couple of the maybe higher seeded in terms of, you know, lower number, the better team on paper, a little bit of a mental edge not there, or was it a simple fact of what we saw this year in the tournament just gives you more insight and more appreciation for what Carey's done in the past? Because it's just hard to get to that national championship game. It's hard to win one. Carey's done both. They've been there multiple times. They've won one. No matter how great you look on paper, go to volleyball. Northwestern was undefeated, did not make it out of pool play. I mean, it's just there's so much parity when you get to those top teams.
Yeah, it is. And you look at, like, I think I've looked at it before. The number one seed in the women's national tournament hasn't won the national championship, I think, in 7 or 8 years. I mean, when Cary won in 2018, they were the, I want to say they were the 5 seed. So the number one seed always has a target on their back anyway. And look, I've said it before too. Like, I think Xavier, because if Xavier gets into that final 16 in the national tournament, I think they beat a couple of teams as well. You know, like, there was a lot of talent in the tournament this year. There was some talent that some teams just didn't know about. And, you know, for Cary specifically running into Columbia in that quarterfinal matchup, you know, Columbia was good. We knew they would be. They actually took Cary to PKs in 2022. And Columbia's a really good program, got a great coach, and it just kind of, you know, one of those games, if you look at the stats, Cary outshot Columbia, as they typically do, outshoot teams. The offense was there, just the finishing wasn't there. And, yeah, tough 2-1 loss.
Yeah, you look at it. Columbia had the early lead in the 5th minute. And then all of a sudden, you look up, Cary equalizes. Esalena Halakutle is able to get a goal scored in the 52nd minute. But, man, within 2 minutes, Columbia answers.
That's a difference.
You almost wonder if that's kind of a moment where you're riding that high of getting that equalizer and you just don't get back in play, or you, you know, maybe play too conservative and all of a sudden let one get by you, maybe thinking you're going back on the attack. I didn't get a chance to see it just because we were inundated with other responsibilities that day. But, you know, was there anything that stood out to you if you were watching it, Clayton?
Yeah, and to be fair, I didn't see it either. I was tied up with my day job, funny enough, too. But, yeah, I mean, you know, in big games like that and in those really big pressure moments, you know, you waste all that energy trying to get that goal to tie the game up. And it can take a lot out of you emotionally, physically, mentally, you know. And I'm sure, you know, when Esalena got the goal, it's, you know, okay, it's game on. You know, you could look at it one of two ways. You could say, you know, maybe Columbia woke up a little bit and kind of got their energy back, or maybe Cary just kind of dropped the level a little bit, kind of got too calm. Again, you know, fair enough. I didn't see the goal, so I'm not really 100% sure what happened there. But, you know, there's a lot that can go on in those games that can cause that.
From Esalena to Rosie to all of those late additions to this team, picking up those one-year players that were going to be impact players, big-time contributors to this team. At what point did you go from thinking could be a rebuilding year to it was just a reloaded year? When did you know that this team had a chance to be really, really good this year?
Yeah, I'd probably say the Tennessee Southern regular season game, that 2-2 draw. And you heard Danny say a couple weeks ago on the podcast, he really felt like that was the Tennessee Southern win in conference tournament. But, you know, that Tennessee Southern regular season game, where that was the first kind of big test besides the Kaiser game. I think that was the game where I was like, okay, they can beat anybody, but they can lose to anybody too. You know, you could just kind of see it going both ways there because it was so evenly matched with Tennessee Southern. But you talk about players like Rosie, like Esalena. Yeah, those were players that were vital to the success of this team. Rosie Fernandez in particular really stepped up late in the season, played really well in the conference tournament, played really well in the national tournament. Esalena was, you know, one of two of the all-tournament team players along with Christina Salmon in the national tournament. So those were huge players for Cary to pick up this year. And it's what Danny's done. You look at a player like Alexis Arnault that played left back before Rosie, that was a D1 transfer as well from Louisiana Lafayette. So, you know, it's just Danny's ability to go out and get those players at the right time that can kind of fit in with the team. And Rosie was a great fit this year.
He's Clayton Rush, color analyst for William Cary Soccer, joining us here on Crusader Talk. And Clayton, as I'm looking up and down the roster right now for William Cary Women's Soccer, a lot of seniors. And I don't think we have any of those COVID year people left. Maybe there's one hidden in there somewhere.
Alicia Davis played her COVID year this year.
Okay. I thought this was the last year of all those, which it feels like we've been saying that for the last 3 years. But nevertheless, you know, you get those medical red shirts and then they're like, oh, and I also have a COVID year and I also have a Uno wild card that I can throw in there too. That gives me another year.
You can do that?
I'm sure it's been tried. Uno reverse has been used in a soccer match.
Okay.
That's Max Fried or whatever his name was, British comedian guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, another day for YouTube. But just looking at it, You have some that it weren't as strong contributors. Goodman's daughter had some action, but not nearly as much as the other goalkeepers for William Carey. But Esselina, who's a transfer for this year, she's a senior. Zalma Torres, who was the JUCO player of the year 2 years ago, just played her second year at Carey and should be finished up unless, again, there's something that I don't know about an extra year. Esselina, a senior. Rosie Fernandez. Kokona Nishikawa. Seki should have another year because she was out due to medical.
Yeah, she didn't play at all this year. Yeah,
so she's fine to come back. Megan Romines was a graduate student. Christina Salmon, a senior. Valeria Barajas, a grad student. Alicia Davis used that COVID year, like you said. And Lauren Jones, a senior as well. So all of those, at least as far as we're aware, should be considered gone after this season.
Yeah, there's a really big number of players leaving again, just like last year. So I think you're really going to have the same questions leading up to the season that you did this year. You know, where are the goals going to come from? You know, who's going to kind of step up and maybe be that next captain with Lauren Jones graduating out?
Valau's going to have to be big.
Valau's going to have to be huge. You know, she's second team All-American this year, and really she needs to take another step even further than that. You know,
sure.
Like she needs to be playing as a first team All-American next year.
I'm going
to
miss Zalma. I'm going to miss her energy, her smile.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Zalma. Oh, Zalma was so good. You know, she came off the bench a little bit more maybe this year, but she was just that spark plug when they needed it. Alicia Davis was way bigger this year than I expected her to be, and you know, Carey's all-time leading appearance. She has the most appearances in William Carey history now. She passes Ana Paula Santos, probably one of the best, you know, two Carey players ever. So she was big this year, and she's definitely going to be missed. So yeah, time to reload the roster for sure.
So in kind of putting a bow on this season, you think about, obviously, Christina Salmon is one that stands out to me as a big loss that'll go from this year to next year. She finishes out as the nation's leader in goals scored for NAIA with, what was the final total? 37 for this one season, which is second place behind Sarah Como in William Carey records. Unless they haven't been updated, maybe Ana Paula Santos has one close there. But that'll be a huge loss, but another opportunity for Carey to rebuild, reload. And Danny Owens seems like he does it every single year somehow, some way.
Yeah, watch out for the transfer portal. You know, I mean, there's going to be I was looking at, this is not necessarily directly related to Carey, but I was looking on X the other day, the highest number of D1 transfer portal players in NCAA women's soccer this year. So there's a lot of D1 players that are looking to switch schools, and that's going to trickle down to the NAIA. What better school than a school that's national powerhouse like William Carey? 4 out of the last 7 national championship games. You've seen Esselina, you've seen Rosie, you've seen Alexis Arnold have, you know, success. So transfer portal is going to be huge.
Could be. All right, we're going to talk men's soccer next. Clayton joins us back as Crusader Talk continues.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
So in Radioland, when we get a commercial break, that gives us some time to do some quick math research. Whereas podcasts, you can just hit pause on the recording and just pick back up like you're a genius. Here we have about 2 to 3 minutes to try to get all our ducks in a row, and then we're back on mic. But we had enough time to tally up how many goals were scored this year by William Carey players that in women's soccer are not returning next year due to graduation or, you know, running out of eligibility years. 100 on the dot goals scored by William Carey seniors, graduate students, you name it, people with no more eligibility after this year. Total number of goals scored for the team this year, 155.
Which is fourth in NAI history all time, by the way.
Wow.
Fun fact. We're only going into the national tournament, we're only 12 goals away from the all-time record of, I think, 167 maybe. That math will work out somehow.
Jeez.
But crazy year, and a lot of it goes to the seniors for sure.
Oh, yeah. Seniors like Christina Salmon, as we mentioned, led the nation in goals, led the nation in points, but evidently, to the NAIA's mind, did not deserve Player of the Year honors.
Apparently not.
And who was the one that got it?
It was Jaden Bolter from Cumberland's.
The team that didn't make it past the round of 16.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Funny how that works. Hey, is that one of those Heisman type things where like it's the best team, a best player on the best team, and they were the number one seed going in?
Could have been, yeah. Now, when did balloting close?
I think if I remember right from what Danny told me last year, they have that discussion immediately concluding the national championship game, like that next day. The coaches that vote get together and discuss it. I think before they even leave Pensacola.
So. And again, you know, the eye test in that limited window of what they saw. We got to see so much more of a sample size of Christina all year. It is disappointing because, I mean, we kind of thought that it was going to be, I mean, a great opportunity to win that.
Thought it was hers to lose, yeah.
Sure.
And, she was a special talent for sure.
And when I look at it now, yeah, Bolter had 30 goals, so 7 away from Christina Salmon, had 4 less games. So if you even it out, you know, Christina Salmon is probably still a slight edge as far as goals per match, but still, you know, maybe a tighter race than our biased opinions are showing.
Probably so.
Now, let me add this. I can jump in here with this. Christina, when she gets to that next level, because she already competes at that level, but when she's forced a little bit more with her fitness, man, what's the ceiling for her?
Yeah.
Because she just doesn't have this go all the time motor. She just gets it done when she has to get it done. She is a gamer. But her fitness there is room there to improve, in one way to put it very nicely. So if she does that, then how high is her ceiling?
Yeah, because she only played 50 minutes in that, was it Indiana Wesleyan or Oklahoma Wesleyan, the first game? Anyway, the first game of the national tournament, she only played 50 minutes and scored 2 goals.
Indiana Wesleyan.
So you're exactly right. Yeah, Christina's going to have a great career if she wants to, and she can play for a long time. But, yeah, I think when you talk about playing for the Jamaican senior women's national team, the level of physical fitness that's going to be needed to play in those matches is, you know, honestly going to be night and day in comparison to something at the sure. NAI level. So the work's going to have to be put in.
Well,
for
and
sure.
If she tightens up her nutrition a little bit, that will help in that process too.
Sure.
Look, we know about the William Carey calf. All right. I mean, if you got that on demand, It's good Southern cooking.
Absolutely is. Just to wrap up the conversation of women's soccer before we tip it over to Barry's boys, Lauren Jones earns first team, all tournament or all America?
All American.
Yeah. Lauren Jones and Christina Salmon earn all America honor. Second team all Americans from William Carey include Karen Vallow and Eselina Halakutla. And that's all. Nobody on third team for William Carey in that regard, but 4 players make the list, which is good to see. And now we'll kind of turn our attention to what, Coach Farrell's squad was able to do. And I started off saying, you know, some overachieving, possibly maybe from a national perspective. I would say that from a perspective of knowing what he had coming into this year, plus a couple unknowns about, you know, Jack Greenwood and whether he would play or not, you know, I really think that they may have slightly superseded expectations. I think knowing what strength he had, we expected a national tournament appearance, but the thrilling ways and fun overtime and PK wins were just a little cherry on top for all of us. And our cardiologists appreciate that.
Yeah. No, I go back to what Coach Farrell said after the Georgia-Gwinnett game when they made it back to the final site. It's just get in and anything can happen, right? And all of the teams that are going to find themselves at that final site, are going to be not only just the best 16 teams in the country, but there's so many teams that can compete, and the margins of error are so slim. And so if you can just get there, anything can happen. And we saw exactly that. The boys played a great game against Indiana Wesleyan in the first game. Goes down to PKs, and, you know, they just kind of seemed like they were going to go on that magical run after that. The second game that, you know, they kind of took care of business a little bit easier, I guess you could say. And then, man, that William Penn game was incredible. That was probably one of the best games I've seen all year. Just from a standpoint of, you know, Rico Dugan's opening goal, going down 2-1, fighting back and getting back into it and getting back level with probably the best goal of the season I've seen from Kevin McConnell, by the way. It was just, you hate to see it in the way that it did, but it was probably one of the most fun games that I've watched as just a fan of Kerry over the years.
You know, us three on mics were all in a text group back and forth during that first match with Indiana Wesleyan. And some of us were having stream problems, others weren't. But just the intensity of being tied there close to the end, you know, Kerry gets that lead and you think, ah, finally, we're going to win this one. We're going to win it 1-0. And what was it, about 86th minute where Indiana Wesleyan finally got the equalizer? And you just thought, my goodness, we were right there. And now momentum shifts and you have several attacks late, a couple saves, a miss hit here or there. And all of a sudden, Kerry forces PKs. And Clayton, you text me and said, if we go to PKs, Kerry's winning this. And I don't know if that was your fandom showing or just the fact that you thought that Kerry was that skilled in that category.
No, you could tell by the way Indiana Wesleyan was playing. They were playing to go to PKs, and the team that wants to go to PKs never wins PKs. You know, the team that plays like that and tries to shoot it back to PKs, and that was just, you know, that was just a gritty, tough performance from the boys to get that to PKs, and then they had it from there.
That's the new proverb. So one is 2-0 is the worst lead in soccer, or most dangerous lead in soccer, and now it's the team that wants PKs the most will not win PKs.
And just, I mean, just look at his record. We need to keep a graphic. When we start adding the graphics, digital graphics, we'll have a graphics board for his predictions and how they shake out and his record throughout the year. I think the numbers will bear out his convictions.
Henry Hampshaw was the reason that my prediction came true. I mean, did y'all see that save?
Oh, what a finger. Save. A finger.
Fingernail.
I'm driving down the road with my knee, double, you know, both fists clenched, screaming. Thank goodness there was nobody around me. I mean, I was on, you know, divided highway, daytime, and nobody could see me. But I mean, I was like, I don't know if I'm more excited or if Henry's more excited. That was incredible. That was my best moment because I'm a new soccer fan. Caleb's somewhat of a newer soccer fan. That was my soccer fan moment where I'm like, okay, I think this might be the best sport. I get it now. Just because of the live and die on every kick, deflection, bounce, save. It's so intense, the pressure. The only thing I can liken it to is watching your team in a bottom of the ninth inning or extra innings of baseball, where it's every pitch. It's, you know, it's very similar to that kind of pressure. It's that one-on-one. So many one-on-one matchups that have to be won. It was incredible. What an incredible year.
So thinking about it now, just walk with us here for the postseason results for men's soccer.
Or run, because you might be almost out of time.
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay, I'll just double check it.
All right, first match, the second round, opening round game, however you want to phrase it, between Kerry and Georgia Gwinnett at Kerry. 1-0 golden goal win in overtime. First period of overtime, Billy Bogue's goal. Second game, which is in the national tournament site, that game against Indiana Wesleyan that we already discussed, went to the two overtime periods, nobody scored, then went to PKs where Kerry won 4-3. And then it's Oklahoma-Wesleyan. That one did not go to overtime, but it did feature a Teddy Miranda goal in the 77th minute. So a late goal to go up 1-0 and then defense to play the rest of the way.
It did feature about a 3:30 wake-up call with a fire in the adjacent hotel. This is all coming from Coach Farrell.
Forgot about that.
Where they stand out in the bitter sub-freezing cold temperatures for an hour, go back to bed, you know, your adrenaline's racing, you're freezing, ho-hum, pull off the 1-0 win.
Goodness. And then, so after that 1-0 win in regulation against Oklahoma Wesleyan, Kerry faces off against fellow William University, William Penn, and fall to them 4-3. Kerry had the lead 3-2 on a Kevin McConnell goal that, Clayton, you were pointing out earlier in the 54th minute. But then Oklahoma Wesleyan got one in the 66th minute, I should say, which forced overtime. And then they had the golden goal scored 3 minutes into that overtime. and were able to get the win. Final score of 4-3, and Kerry's season ends in the semifinals. But, you know, what a run. What an absolute run.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for much more from this team. And it was, yeah, one of the most special runs that I've ever seen. It'll be one that Coach Farrell will remember for forever, for so many different reasons. But, I mean, yeah, four games, three go to overtime, and a one-goal differential in the win. I mean, those games were so tight. They had you hanging on your seat every single moment, and they were some of the most fun games that I've watched as a Kerry fan, for sure.
And how about this from an SSAC perspective? Dalton State wins it all, but then Emilio Cazares from Mobile gets Player of the Year. So SSAC honors all the way around. Keevan McConnell made first-team All-American.
And Rico Dugan and Keevan McConnell were NAI All-Tournament Team members as well.
So we have that to enjoy and a whole lot more as we look forward to next season, what Coach Farrell and company have in store for us. Clay, appreciate you jumping in on a short notice tonight to recap soccer. But, hey, we'll be ready to talk about players and national teams in the off season, and also look forward to what the roster reload looks like. Until then, we'll catch you around the bend.
Hey, August can't come soon enough.
It definitely can't. All right, that is Clayton Rush, color analyst of William Kerry Soccer. When we come back on Crusader Talk, Coach Bobby Halford of William Kerry Baseball joins us. Stay tuned here on Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you here on Crusader Talk. Glad you're with us. If you missed our conversations earlier with Clayton Rush, our color analyst for William Kerry Soccer, you can catch it on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Crusader Talk.
Is it too late for us to start putting some of that passion of Caleb into some other sports, direct him in some other avenues so he doesn't have such of a long layoff? Because if he catches on, if he gets interest in some other things, he would put so much research and energy and passion into it. I just wish we could use him more.
Right?
Maybe. Well, I mean, he's busy, though. He's busy. He's got a lot going on. Family, kids, work, the day job, so to speak. But, man, he is a whole lot of fun to work with on soccer.
Oh, yeah. And a little note here, his parents have moved up from the Covington area up towards Hattiesburg, and so all of a sudden he's got not just his in-laws, but now his family that he grew up with up here too. So
it's a great place.
It's, yeah, great place to settle down. It's where Coach Halford has known and loved community for several years now. Is Coach, what number season is this about to be for you in William Kerry baseball as head coach?
And that's a good question. I don't know if it's 39 or 40. It just seems
they just run together now. Yeah.
It's just it's what happens when you're having fun.
Absolutely is. Well, Coach, from what the website's saying, I think it is going to be your 40th year. Which,
yeah,
you know, you're
right.
Just,
you're right.
Yeah, because I think it was you were always two behind Steve, if memory serves right. So, but you've been with the baseball program a lot longer than just your years as a head coach. And when it comes to total years, you have Steve outranked. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. I did want to give a chance for you before we break for the holidays, a chance to talk about your staff as things on the William Kerry athletic side have moved around. Ben Smith has taken his full-time job as assistant AD, left you a vacancy on the coaching staff, and it's one that you told me you were able to fill pretty quickly. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we were very fortunate because about a year ago, Jamie McMahon, former player of ours and, of course, a longtime coach, he was at Pearl River as an assistant and a head coach, and then he went to Nicholls State. And the last 14, 15 years he's been at Gulfport High School. And so he had told me, he said, you know, I'm coming up on my 25th year. When I, you know, finally quit from the public school, I'd like to come help you if you had a chance. And he said, you know, just even in a part-time role or whatever. And I said, well, we'll definitely keep it in mind. And then when Ben, you know, approached me during the season and towards the end of the season, trying to move into the administration, and I said, well, you know, if that happens, and my first call is going to be to Jamie. And it just kind of all worked out. And, you know, I can't say enough about what Ben did all these years for me and all the, you know, good things as far as recruiting, coaching, that one of the top, I thought, young coaches coming up. And so, and with Jamie available, just a really easy fit. Jamie's an infield guy, played second base for me, and really good teacher, really good, likes that part of the game, and knows a lot of people because of the different stops he's had in coaching.
And Coach Hall, for Josh here, one of the things I'm excited about, and I don't know if you and I have had a chance to talk about this personally, but hearing about all the excitement for not only Cary, but for the NAIA with these capped rosters. So with these harder limits on roster size across collegiate baseball, there are going to be a lot of players that are looking for a home. And so for a team of Cary's caliber, that could be huge.
Yeah, that was interesting. We had a Division I player in today that spent most of the day with us, and there'll be more players out there. And of course, the last few years, and they've been really good to us with the transfers and that type of thing. So we've just kind of transition in that way, and we probably did it a little bit quicker than maybe some of the larger schools.
How fun has it been lately with training and practice, or any type of things you've been able to do out there on the field prior to the season starting in late January with all the TrackMan stats? How has it been adjusting to that new stuff?
Yeah, Coach Ebers really forefront of that and kind of got us going with it, and with our connections with the DO school, and we're doing a study right now with them as far as injuries and that type thing. And it just opens up a lot of doors for us. Last year, a few of our players, we were worried about them getting attention and from some of the scouts. And one of them said, well, you guys need to get TrackMan because then you can put all your information on there. And a lot of these scouts, that's basically what they're going by. They're going by the numbers, and sometimes that's good and sometimes bad. But it also opens a door when you see a kid that, his exit velocity is really, really good and spin rate's really good. So that kind of gets their attention. So we're getting that information out there, and we're just pleased with it so far. And we're in the process, starting last week, that our DO people came over and started their study.
Well, it's really cool, and I'm interested to see all those stats in front of my face whenever I get to go out there and call some of the ball games. And, man, season is going to be here before we know it. We're only about a month away. It'll be January 31st where you host Pikeville on a Friday afternoon, and should be a lot of fun in that game, and have a lot around the bend because, again, we're almost less than a month away. And Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Thanks for telling us about Coach McMahon and what he's going to bring to the table. We look forward to seeing you soon on the podcast again to preview a little bit more about this baseball team. How about it?
Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
He is Coach Bobby Hallford, head baseball coach of William Cary. That's a podcast for another Monday.
That went really quick.
I mean, it flew by, as it always does. That's what happens when we take a week off. And we are going to take next week off if you're listening live. If it's the 23rd, hey, a Merry Christmas to you. We hope that you enjoy time with family, spend it wisely, and enjoy some basketball. In the meantime, if you're in the middle of this current week that we're recording, got big games coming up against Blue Mountain Christian and Dalton State this week. So check that out on caryathletics.com. But until next time, good night, God bless, Merry Christmas, and go Saters.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.